The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we have Philip Arroyo, Country Head for Malaysia and Chief Executive of BNP Paribas Malaysia. Philip, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Well, BNP Paribas was one of the five foreign banks awarded a full commercial banking license to operate in Malaysia 7 years ago. This was in 2011. So how has your Malaysian journey been?
Quite an interesting one. Shows the commitment of BNP Paribas. In fact, we've been in the country for 45 years, and we've been aiming at consolidating and expanding our footprint in this country, which for BNP Paribas as a group, for our commercial decision to expand in APAC, in Asia, is strategic. So we are today covering five legal entities in order to service properly our customers.
You've been here for 45 years, but you've only had a full commercial license, a banking license in the past 7 years. So BNP Paribas, you have a presence in Labuan as well as in the Klang Valley. So any plans to expand your footprint here?
In fact, the expansion is through legal entities. I mean, today we have this ability of servicing customers, of course, in their ringgit requirement with this full commercial license, but we are also accompanying them in advisory on capital markets, advisory on corporate finance. We have also two legal entities in asset management, one conventional, the other one Islamic. So this is the way we are going to expand the footprint. Now, if you're asking me whether we have the ambition of going, for example, into retail, I think that if you have a look at the landscape in Malaysia, you will discover that you have quite strong Malaysian champions. Mm. And BNP Paribas would like to focus where it can bring value, and we'll leave this part to your Malaysian champions.
The overall banking landscape has changed. I mean, it has changed even more so, you know, even more drastically in the past couple of years. Many traditional banks have been impacted. BNP Paribas is no exception to that. So what are you doing to stay relevant?
Extremely interesting question. Yes, the landscape is moving, and moving quite drastically. I mean, two key drivers, if I may. The first one is regulation. As you know, I mean, there was quite a deep crisis taking place in 2008, 2009, and since then, I mean, we are all aiming at ensuring that this kind of thing can be repeated, and I think that regulators are ensuring that banks are strong, can face headwinds, and will remain focused on what should be their core business. And core business is financing real economy and is supporting the entrepreneurs in a given country. And that's definitely what BNP Paribas is here for in Malaysia, that is supporting Malaysian champions and helping building the Malaysia of tomorrow. Now, there's another factor which is quite interesting, is the arrival of new players, which are not banking institutions, but we are entering into our domain. And this is the fintech, and this is all these related activities. So quite a challenge and quite interesting, because in any challenge, there are opportunities. I'm pleased to say that at the level of a group like BNP Paribas, our integrated diversified model is really a strong asset, not only to face headwinds, but it is, more importantly, to become one of the best. And you may have seen the change in the landscape, as you may know that there are banks which had to retrench. There are others which are, I think the word is right-sizing. Mm-hmm. For us, the word is very simple, is expanding. And we keep on investing into Malaysia because we can have the means of our ambitions because we have a very strong parent. Every year, BNP Paribas has been posting a 6 to 8 billion euros net profit. So, which gives us the means, in fact, of rewarding all stakeholders. It helps rewarding our investors, but it helps also consolidating our capital base and planning for future expansion. And when I was speaking about the new competitors, you have to know that in our ambitious plans up to 2020, the bank has decided to allocate 3 billion euros only to digital. So, and this will obviously have positive effects because these investments will go down to Asia-Pacific and to Malaysia once upon a time.
So do you see these new entrants, such as the fintech companies, are they a big threat to you, or do you plan to work together with them? Or perhaps maybe even buy into them? Any in your radar?
Quite interesting question. In fact, both. There are threats, and because they are a threat, I mean, we need to not be worried. We need to assess their strengths and weaknesses. We need to see where we can partner. And yes, I mean, at the level of our parent, there were already acquisitions taking place in this domain, and we are going to learn, we are going to build our learning curve, we are going to extract the best from these new competitors in order, at the end of the day, to give a seamless journey for our customers. Don't forget, I mean, a bank like BNP Paribas is definitely a customer-driven bank. So for us, what does matter is not necessarily what we want to do, is what are our customers expecting from us. A bank like BNP Paribas have a reach to 73 countries. There's no product that I'm aware of that we can't deliver. So the issue is not what we can deliver, is what is suitable to our customers. What is their expectation? And this is where we need to, in fact, play the right role in order to meet their expectations of our customers. My responsibility is to ensure that customers are satisfied. Don't believe the customer will come back if he's not satisfied. So we need to adapt. Today, it is not brick and mortar anymore. It is more click and a little bit of mortar. The click may differ. I mean, some are very much computer-driven. Others are tablets, phone, whatever. We need to be in our world, and we need, in fact, to anticipate and to be in a position to address the banking requirements of tomorrow.
So what are the banking requirements of tomorrow, in your opinion?
I think that what's not going to change is quality of service. I mean, it's very interesting to see the difference you can see. I mean, you'd like to be seamless, but being seamless doesn't mean that it is going to be only industrializing platform. And, you know, when you want to speak to your relationship manager, calling somewhere, waiting 10 minutes with a nice music or not so nice music on the phone to hear finally, they are all engaged, please call back later. I mean, I think that it's offering a journey where you can do your transactions or give your instructions in a very easy way. So using the new technologies. I mean, I do remember when I started my career, I mean, we had to have fax indemnity. I do remember because instructions could be given by fax, and it was a true innovation at that point in time. And I do remember an anecdote a couple of months ago when, I mean, we were talking about some requirements, and when we came to fax indemnity, I mean, somebody looked at me and said, what is a fax? I mean, obviously, I mean, things are evolving. Today, what you need to do is to be in a position to run through the electronic platforms, seamless kind of a thing where at the end of the day, you give your instruction from your office and it's going to be executed without manual intervention, which, by the way, is ensuring that you have less human errors. And the humanity of the banking is going to be on listening, advising, and understanding what are the requirements.
So how meaningful is the Malaysian business to the BNP Paribas ecosystem? Because in the whole ecosystem of the banking group, it's quite a small dot. And is it important?
You know, you take each and every country individually, it would look like being small, even France, by the way. Because we are a 40 billion euro turnover plus company. We are operating in five continents. We are operating in all domains of banking and financial services. So each and every part taken individually would be small. Now, you do measure the importance not only by size, but by the strategic positioning. And there, Malaysia is very important. Very important for quite a few reasons. First, our group CEO has reiterated many times and during the last presentation of our ambitious plans to 2020 that APAC, Asia-Pacific, is strategic. Who can contemplate Asia-Pacific without Malaysia today? Malaysia is at the heart of ASEAN. Malaysia is a strategic position, just geographically speaking, in order to cover Southeast Asia, but more than Southeast Asia. I mean, you would see that Malaysia is more and more taken as a base in order to service North Asia, but also Middle East, and I've even met some companies which are servicing Africa from here. So Malaysia is a hub. So one reason to be very important. Second is, even if it's not used as a hub by major players, usually they have a role, they have a business in Malaysia. If you want to be integrated, diversified model, you need on cash management to service them everywhere. And it would be just impossible to respond to any kind of request if you were saying, okay, I can help you maybe in Thailand, I can help you in... But Malaysia, forget it. No way, it's a non-starter. So Malaysia was that important. That's why, despite having four licenses in 2010 when B&M decided to allocate these five new licenses, mm-hmm. as you rightly highlighted, we were mobilized and all senior management of the group, not in Asia, of the group, were in fact committed to give our best and to show to the central bank what kind of value proposition we could bring to Malaysia. Our products and services are encompassing both conventional and Islamic finance. And I think it's quite important because Malaysia is a worldwide hub in terms of Islamic finance. And we try to share our expertise, not only with locals, but also with internationals. And we've taken multinationals to Sharia-compliant financing, both on the bond side, that is for Sukuks, as well as for the pure lending perspective. And we have put in place some Islamic facilities for some multinationals. So I think it's quite important because it's a good transition for the future. The future will be more and more about sustainable development, about what you call, you know, green financing. And there, BNP Paribas is already a worldwide leader. And we would like, in Malaysia, to share our expertise with the Malaysian champions. It is going to be a requirement to show that you do contribute to the world and that you build the right world for the future regenerations. And that banking, finance, and BNP Paribas can help the local companies to achieve this.
Earlier you mentioned about expanding in Malaysia. You also spoke about how it's no longer brick and mortar. It's about click and some mortar, right? Are there any plans for BNP Paribas to open more branches here or maybe expand your products or services in Malaysia?
In fact, on the products and services, yes, definitely. I mean, we are moving. We are developing new offers. You know that regulation is such that it is not always easy to roll out the group expertise, but we do. We are expanding. We are bringing cash management platform to higher standards. And this is the reason why we've made very great progress on this. We are developing and growing very rapidly market-making activities on the bonds in Malaysia. I would say that where we think that the group can bring value to Malaysia, we will develop. Where we think that others are better placed in order to bring value, we'll leave it to them.
Are you looking outside Labuan or Klang Valley, Penang perhaps, or maybe Johor, any other markets?
We are servicing customers in all the places where you mentioned. Labuan is a historical place, so we have a presence there. For the time being, we don't have plans to expand the branches, but it's for the time being. Who knows?
I'm speaking to Philip Arroyo, country head for Malaysia and chief executive of BNP Paribas Malaysia. After this, we'll talk more about the evolving operating landscape for banks, not just externally, but internally as well, given that we're in a new Malaysia today. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill and my guest today is Philip Arroyo, country head for Malaysia and chief executive for BNP Paribas Malaysia. Philip, earlier we were talking about the changing business landscape for banks. So today, right now, most people were expecting continuity when it came to G14. So let's change our focus on that. I mean, today we're in a complete new operating environment. This is not just for local corporates, but foreign players as well, such as like yourself. So what does that mean for you as an operator in this new Malaysia?
Very timely question. Very strategic question. Obviously, I won't comment on politics. I mean, I hardly understand French politics. So what do you want me to understand about Malaysian politics? But there's one thing which is key, is Malaysia has shown to the rest of the world that it could handle a smooth democratic transition. And that is a key asset for Malaysia of tomorrow. I think this is absolutely key. There were press reports questioning, wondering, whatsoever. Today, we see that a new government is in place and is going to roll out its policy. And I think that this is the key message. Malaysia is a democratic country where you know that you can manage this kind of transition. So congratulations to Malaysia and to the people of Malaysia for that.
Are you expecting an impact to your operations here with this change in government? I mean, there's an impact on banks, how banks operate.
You know, there are multiple dimensions to your questions. I mean, I would simply say, for me, no, because BNP Paribas is quite focused. We know who we want to deal with, and ethics and conducts at the core of our strategy. So we do not have any kind of concern with future developments. And on the contrary, we are convinced that the new government will be willing to keep on developing Malaysia, keep on ensuring that economic performance is a good performance, and that is what is conducive for business for us. So on this, no issues. I think that the global landscape is going to evolve, but it's quite premature, you know, to draw any kind of conclusion. It takes time to put things in place. The new government had made some priorities in the program, 10 priorities. You may have seen that some of them are already rolled out. Others will take more time, as expected, by the way, in terms of being rolled out. But as far as I'm concerned as a banker, what we'll see is whether there are new rules, new regulations being introduced, and that I cannot comment until such time that they come out.
Yeah, Tun Daim Zainuddin is one of the people on the Imminent Council. I mean, he made a comment and said that, you know, capitalists prefer a corrupt government. And he said it's easier for them to make money. And this was in response to a question when asked to comment on why some investors were taking flight from Malaysia post GE14. Why do you think investors sold out of Malaysia? Do you think it's a macro trend impacting emerging markets? Or do you think this is due to the change in government?
People hate change. I mean, usually, whatever change, just try to remember the day we said that we are going to replace typing writing machines by computers. It was a disaster. I mean, people were believing they would be losing their job. They would never be in a position to manage. I'm old enough to have lived these kind of things. When we change government in France, in Europe, and whatsoever, the first thing which is, what's going to happen? What kind of country? So, the first reaction was, at the end of the day, ooh, change, don't know. But have a look at the impact. I mean, 3 days after the G14, markets were back to quasi-normal. Yes, few people retrenched and whatsoever, but I wouldn't call it disengagement from Malaysia. On the contrary, being a banker who is only committed to financing real economy and who wants to bring value to the country, I mean, we've seen in BNP Paribas people coming in, asking us questions and having long-term plans. When you make a decision to invest into a plant, when you make the decision to develop activities, real activities in a country, you don't make knee-jerk reactions in 48 hours. In the country, I mean, you keep on investing. Yes, you may have a kind of a wait-and-see attitude for a while, but then we'll see. And I repeat, I mean, I think the key message and the key positive for Malaysia is to have demonstrated to the rest of the world that you can manage a smooth, swift, democratic transition. And that I can tell you, the feedback that I have is positive on that.
Well, you've been in banking for nearly 3 decades now. You've been in the Malaysian market for more than 3 years. So what is your outlook for the capital markets right now, given the current change as well as what's happening macroeconomically globally? What's your take on the capital markets?
Listen, the capital markets have been developing. I mean, they have been gaining maturity. They haven't yet reached the kind of depth liquidity that is expected, but it's an ongoing process and on the right track. I'm seeing it because, I mean, you need to be in a position to finance the economy, and there are significant requirements for Malaysian champions. As I was explaining, I mean, we are quite focused in our strategy. For us, we have decided that we would accompany first the Malaysian champions, be them GLCs or be them from the private sector. We would then accompany financial institutions. I mean, I was saying that we are not entering into retail because you have champions in this domain, but if you can't compete with them, but let's partner or let's bank them. And in fact, I'm proud to say that some of them are very good customers of the bank. And last but not the least is multinationals. And multinationals is, you know, to share with foreign champions our strong belief in Malaysia, in the fact that in the long run, Malaysia is going to come out as a very mature economy that will be reaching the industrialized standards. And we are pleased and proud to share our strong belief with them and to accompany them in their investment and their ventures in Malaysia.
Earlier, you were talking about how Malaysia is going to be good for Malaysia in the long term. So maybe there'll be many more players eyeing Malaysia, eyeing this Malaysian pie, and they might want to eat a piece of the pie here. So do you foresee any more new banking players entering into the Malaysian market?
Usually, I do not comment on this kind of thing because this is a prerogative of a central bank to decide how many licenses you want. What I can tell you is that the Malaysian market is quite well-banked. I mean, the number of banks is quite impressive. In Malaysia, even if recently, and this is what we were discussing before, some of the banks had to retrench, some of them have even disappeared, because the changing landscape in the financial industry is, you know, like in the nature, I mean, only the strongest survive, and that's why it's important to be backed by a group like BNP Paribas when you are the largest Eurozone bank, when your performance is helping you, in fact, addressing expectations of your stakeholders and within your stakeholders of customers. We need to keep on investing. We need to be there on the new technologies. We need to address the new journey that they're expecting to have. And that you can do only if you invest, not if you retrench. So quite convinced that the competition is going to remain stiff, but quite convinced as well that with our strengths, we should be well positioned in this competition.
I've been speaking to Philip Arroyo. Philip, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you. I'm Joyce Goh for BFM 89.9, The Business Nation.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.